Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Inside Lion Athletics. Took a week off so Avi could go look at glaciers. It was cool for him. Can't wait for him to tell us about it, too. But let's get back to it. Our final episode of the 2024-2025 season. How did it go this fast? 42 of these things. Going to start out like we have on a number of occasions, though, with head track and field coach George Pinnock. Southland Conference Championships are behind us now. Lions did pretty well. I believe it was a fourth place finish, was it not?
Third place on the men's side?
Third on the men, okay.
Maybe fourth. I can't remember. Third, fourth, anything other than first, they're kind of all the same until about six. So
yeah, the medals don't clank quite as heavy together, right, do they?
But no, a really good competition from both the men and women, and very proud of how they went down to Houston and competed hard over the course of 3 days.
Tell you what, you get the men's most valuable athlete in Ibrahim Fusilini. Fuse coming out with four. It's like we don't have that many football rings. But he's got four gold medals. That was an awesome way for him to wrap up the year. Talk a little bit about the events he was in with his teammates and then some of the individuals as well.
Yeah, so Fuse, as we know him, was in the 100, 200, and then was on both our relays. And so, again, just tremendous efforts out of him over the course of 3 days. Probably not feeling as good as he wanted to. A lot of travel going in there right before to China and getting back. But, you know, competed at a really, really high level with his teammates. You know, Enoch Fosu-Hine, another athlete from Ghana that we have. You know, he was on all four of those same events with Fuse, gold medal in both relays with him. He was runner up in the 200, and then I think in the 100 he was a little bit further back. So another really good effort out of him. I think if you look at points, he was right up there with 18 points scored. So not far behind Fuse in that sense.
Great stuff. And the women didn't do poorly either. Stronger perhaps in the field events. I know discus was a good finish.
Yeah, you know, again, I think both discus girls just had phenomenal seasons, had high expectations at the championship and went in and competed hard. And, you know, ultimately they raised the level of that championship, second place through, really good. You know, I think Cassandra in third, had she thrown that mark last year, would have won by almost 2 meters.
Wow.
Tells you a little bit about the depth of that field and just how good it's gotten. So to be on top of that, very proud of those girls. And you know, our girls in the horizontal jumps and vertical jumps, and our heptathlete, just fantastic effort across 3 days. Tough weather for some of those field events that are out there a little earlier, in the middle of the day when it's hot and humid.
Very well. Well, they came back with smiles and medals. That's great stuff. And there, for some of them, the summertime's hardly begun, and they've got work to do for their home nations.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's summertime in a track student athlete's life like?
Well, for some of them, they're off, you know, and that's part of the plan is being off. For others, they're trying to prepare to try to make a world championship team, whether that's on a relay, or maybe even prepare for their country's national championship, if that country has one. So a little bit different for each, you know. We're fortunate we got one that's already qualified for world championship, so he's still here training, but I know that there's at least one, two, three that are kind of elsewhere training remotely and kind of checking in with me every couple days just to make sure. So it doesn't really stop all that much yet. When you kind of get to a certain level, there's more to go.
Indeed. So for some of them, especially the guys from Ghana, the World Relay Championships will be in Tokyo. Is that how soon is that coming up?
World Championships will be, I believe, second week of September.
So okay.
The summer, they got the opportunity to go and qualify for some individual events at the World Championships. So that's kind of where the focus kind of turns now that that relay team's already qualified, to try to get into an individual event as well.
How's that coaching, that side gig you got with Gana working out? You're gonna obviously you're with them into September.
Look, I don't, that's not guaranteed. That's
Oh,
on,
okay.
I will always be a coach. I always help. I will always nurture, and give constructive feedback, whether they choose for me to coach that team at World Championships, that's on them. I'm gonna be cheering for them either way. You know,
There you go.
that's the team I want to see in the final, and that's a team I want to see in the podium.
All right, man. That's awesome stuff. What's your summer gonna be like?
I'm gonna try to recruit a little bit here, and then try to find a little way to shut down. That's hard for me to do. I mentioned to you earlier in just kind of our conversation, I got a 10-year anniversary with my wife, so
That's so awesome.
like to try to get
Congratulations to you both.
try to shut it down, actually. We haven't had many vacations where it's been vacation, so this might be one where we try to do that.
Hey, well, you've certainly earned it. 10 years in, that's good. I got 30 coming up this fall. So, all right, we need to look. You know, here's another thing on that kind of came in my mind is this might have been the last time the Lions participated in an event from which they cannot continue on in NCAAs. Does that resonate with you in any way, you and your staff?
Oh yeah, like I mean, we're fully aware that our coaching colleagues are checking in College Station today. They're checking in Jacksonville, getting ready for that West and East and West Regional. That'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And our staff's more than ready to have kids there next year.
All right, good stuff. Last thing, and and then we'll leave you be, but what's recruiting like in the summertime? You're not chasing events so much.
Again, I think recruiting in the summer is a little bit of kind of that roster management. Just kind of looking kind of a deep dive into where we may not be as good as we want, and finding that person that bolsters that event group. So there's one side of it, and then there's always that superstar that contacts you in the middle of the summer that hasn't had a call from any other coach and wants to be at your school. So, you're filling the gap and you're hoping for the superstar. And that's summer recruiting.
There you go. All right. Fair enough. You said before we went on that you were had a Saturday at home and you weren't really quite sure what to do.
No, not at
Do
all.
let me ask you this question because it might help fill those Saturdays. Is your lawnmower gas or electric?
Gas.
Gas. There you go.
Like I told you, 10-year anniversary.
Yep.
Completed my 10th season. My 40th birthday is coming up, and I'm more in love with mowing the lawn than ever before.
That's
The
awesome.
edge can never be straight enough. It can never be green enough.
So is it wide enough that you can mow 8 lanes so you've got at least a short track in the front yard?
No, not even a short track in my front yard. So.
All right, man. Hey, George, thanks. It's been a great year for the Lions. We move on and it'll be so exciting next year when all the asterisks are removed.
Absolutely.
All right, man. We're going to Lions up, folks. We've got more coming up. We've got the boss himself, Jim Curry, and our executive producer, Avi Mehta, is going to get on with me. First time since probably basketball season we had him on the air together. Until then, stick around and we got more coming right up.
Thanks, Charlie.
You bet, man. Thanks, George. Happy anniversary to you, kids.
Appreciate it. I gotta make it to it. There's always a chance you could get rid of me before.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here. Close your eyes and you know who I am, right, Jim?
Yes,
Jim
sir.
Curry, our athletic director, is ready to tell us what's been going on the last couple of weeks. Avi took a week off, so we did too. Boy, do we have a lot of work to catch up on, though. How's the summer going, Jim?
Oh, is it summer? What is that again right now? I think the last time we got together, we talked about how crazy May is and how things have just changed so much kind of going into summer. And we had a staff meeting this morning, and I think it validated that assertion pretty well. There's some required travel this week due to reclass. We've got reclass reports due this week. We got new student athletes reporting this weekend for summer one that starts next week. We're wrapping up grades and grade reports, and so it is. It's here. It's here.
How's the mood? How's the mood in those meetings right now? You've already characterized this as we're in the glide path and bringing it in, hopefully for a smooth landing.
So for the NCAA meetings I'm going to this week.
Yeah, for the
Yeah,
meetings
yeah.
you have with your staff. I
Oh,
mean,
with the staff too.
everybody's got to be a little bit fired up.
Yeah, I think people are definitely fired up about that for sure. I think just the volume of all the other stuff going on right now to get ready for a whole new crop of student athletes to arrive is kind of pulling away a little bit of the bandwidth, and that's understandable. It's gotten so busy in the summer, and we talked about it on a recent episode, just how fluid summer still is because of the portal. And we're still recruiting, we're still setting rosters to include for sports that will begin reporting here just this weekend coming up. So that creates a little bit of challenge as you're trying to manage all the other day-to-day things, and then at the same time too manage to just a little bit of the fluidity and the volatility in the system a little bit just because of the way things sit. So, again, like the staff's doing a great job. And again, I can't thank them enough for the work that they're doing day in and day out. And, it's just, but the next, really, you got to get through that first week, full week of summer school to really kind of feel like you got your feet under you a little bit. With just the amount of just how quickly it comes and people get here. So, once we get through the next 2 weeks here, I think we'll at least have a little better ability to kind of focus on a couple other things as we plan our work ahead for the rest of the fall.
Just a normal school year, there's plenty enough to do, but then when you tack on all the extras that everybody had to chip in, for the reclassification, everybody ought to get a medal, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt
They've
about
been
that.
through
The
one.
staff deserves a medal. There's a few that have been here for the whole 3 years. They probably deserve some hazard duty pay or some type of special recognition somewhere. I'm not sure. But because it's been an arduous 3 years for sure, and very rewarding, but at the same time too, a lot of hard work by a lot of people. And so again, credit to them and their efforts. You got folks like Avi, you got folks like Dale, you got folks like Haley. I'm probably leaving somebody out in the mix there, but those are the folks that kind of jumped to mind who have been on the really on the front lines of it. So again, appreciative for those efforts. But it's but yeah, I mean the hard part is honestly, I think for us right now is some of this required travel that we still have to do. It, again, a lot going on campus. You're getting pulled away at kind of a tough time to get pulled away. So again, we just managed to and we keep grinding on.
There you go. All right, we want to make sure that we leave everybody with some key dates for the summer, but we got a couple of things to talk about that are completed. Had a really nice visit with George Pinnock. They didn't do too bad on the track down, and let's see, it was at Rice, wasn't it?
It was at Rice, yeah. It was hot on the last day too. I went down. It was the day after Night of Champions, so I went down that morning and spent the day there. Some great performances again. The meet record in the 4x1. Foose, I think his 200 time is top five in the country this year in Division One. Obviously, four gold medals. So just a lot of really good things going on there. I think George probably, I'm guessing he probably said there's a few points we left on the board too out there, but also had some great performances. Right now, in our 3 years in the Southland outdoor meet, no one's ever beat us in the 100 on the men's side, the 200, and the women's high jump. So no pressure for all those student athletes for next year to carry that lineage along, but we're up for the challenge.
Look out, ET's coming to the meet. You also had a pretty productive night of champions. You said that you left that to go to Houston. How did it end up at casino night?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was, we talked about how we were sold out. We had obviously more folks, and there was definitely more energy in the room beyond last year's event, which was really, really good too. So I would say all in all, just an outstanding event. We had a great committee. Josiah and his team did great work. Trey over in philanthropy, and then again, a great committee that did a lot of work on that. Our staff pitched in a lot of different ways. It was, folks were having a great time. Let's put it that way. It was hard to kind of turn the lights low and kind of get, or turn the lights up, right? And shut everything down. But again, a great night, and we raised a ton of money for scholarship. We'll be well over $100,000 in funding that was generated through that event. So we are grateful for everybody that was involved, everybody that participated in the silent auction. And honestly, in the silent auction, we had already surpassed last year's total 15 minutes into the event when we started off down in Rockwall that night. And so, we knew we were off to a good start just from that alone. We had great sponsorship partners, the presenting sponsor coming from Avsant, the folks that put the video boards in the field house and have done a number of other projects across campus. Great partners, just they were there and had a blast as well. So we're grateful for their support along with others who supported. So we're looking forward. We got a feedback survey out right now. We're getting some feedback there. And so yeah, we're looking forward for next year as well.
So how many of those feedback notes were, I didn't win anything?
Yeah.
Or it was great because I won everything. Who
Yeah.
were the winners? How who
Yeah.
anybody pick some of the stars from the Lion Galaxy? Who
Yeah,
won it all?
you know, th so we've got some new partners in both the athletics and the City of Commerce with Signature Solar and all the different groups that are associated with them, all their affiliates and Big Battery, folks like that. And they had representation there as well. And there's a guy, he's like literally a rocket scientist or something like that. He won on the poker table. And I don't think everybody knew who was playing against him that he was a rocket scientist. So it was kind of funny to watch that kind of play out a little bit.
Yeah,
But
you don't want to play pool against a physicist. One
yeah.
of my high school classmates, the most unathletic person in the world, but he was great at physics and knew the angles, and he could smack a cue ball.
Yep, that's exactly right. Exactly right. So we had our head coaches doing a little bit of dealing at the tables for an hour or so. Some of them are definitely a lot more comfortable there than others, but fun to see the personalities a little bit and get to engage with our folks. So, like I said, all in all, a great night. It ended late, as it should. I think the party kept going at the hotel bar as well. And I don't know what time that wrapped up, but I was asleep and up early to get down to Houston. So.
That's awesome, man. You had a good party when the lights come up and everybody is still there.
Yeah.
That's the kind of party you want to have.
It was
All
really
right.
good.
So, you mentioned, and I think George did as well, that we got student athletes next week arriving on campus towards the end. I guess June 1's the day they can arrive, but hoops, volleyball, football, I guess cross country would be in there, and golf, they can come in as well.
Yeah, it'll be primarily the basketballs and football. There will be some others that report as well, but I would say primarily that group for summer one. We'll have some more that report in summer two across other sports, which is in July. Then we're here, it's August, and we know what happens in August. We strap it on, whether it's the shin guards, the shoulder pads, the helmets, the running shoes, you name it. So that's certainly exciting. And I think it's also even more exciting this year too, because again, we talk about dates coming up June 1. That's the launch of our new Nike partnership. So we're excited about that and getting that off the ground. Still got a lot of work to do there, but it's really coming into focus really well. So we're excited about that and that coming online. So here we go. June is a busy, May's busy. We're excited to get June started. And then maybe see if we can catch our breath for a second or two before we keep going.
For somebody that has started out in D3 and into D2 and now to D1. All the activity on campus in the summertime is a whole new world for Lion fans.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's, you know, I think that was, I think, something that was a little bit, you talk about kind of growth and how athletics can maybe even help, you know, usher along and kind of help develop some other programming or some initiatives across campus. You know, our summer school wasn't that big. We didn't have, my first year here, we actually didn't even have a summer dining plan because there wasn't that many students on campus. But with the growth and proliferation of what we're doing in athletics and the amount of folks that are here for summer, and again, credit to the rest of the university, the growth and the programming and drive behind growing summer enrollment as well. Now we're, you know, it sounds so simple in some respects, but it's not. Like, we've got dining plans and we've got dorms open and just things that honestly, when you're in D2, there isn't the amount of summer school enrollment. There is no summer required activities like you've got in Division One. The playing seasons start later. They end sooner in the spring. So you just don't have much overlap or really need for the amount of summer programming and support that we see now. And again, credit to the university for being responsive in a really positive way to develop the programming and the support and the infrastructure to support not just our student athletes who are here for the summer, but now support a growing student population that's here for the summer as well. So again, just another one of those maybe kind of under the radar examples of just growth and how athletics and the university and the academic side and the student, you know, the student programming side, the student affairs kind of come together to all work together to just grow and create new experiences and opportunities for students.
Just think, and you could end up, you know, here in another few months, there's a restaurant down the street by the arena. You know, there's more jobs there.
No, quite. Well, they just opened the Dairy Queen just north of the Starbucks. So I saw someone in and going in and out of there the other day. So there's a new Dairy Queen. And then we got the fences up now around the footprint of the event center, and they're doing dirt work over there, and the steel's coming out of the ground on the Buffalo Wild Wings, which is right there next to that location. And, you know, the rec center project's still going, and you see the construction fence going there. You see what's going on with Ag and Rodeo Complex. So it's incredible just seeing it all come together.
You know, I guess the first thing people will really see come out of the ground over on the arena site is going to be infrastructure like utilities. Get those in first before you put concrete over some of them.
Yeah, definitely. Utility, there's some grading. There's been actually some work. People haven't seen a lot of work. So people have asked me like, oh, are things happening over there? I said, oh, trust me, things are happening over there. It's just some of the less like obvious stuff that I think you would see once you start seeing tractors moving dirt and grading and things like that. You know, one of the things that has been a discussion point that, you know, kind of, again, maybe not front of mind is, oh, we got that band tower over there that we got to, you know, bring down. And, you know, what are we going to do with that, you know, next moving forward? So it's, you know, all a whole bunch of little bit of things. It's all over the place that all come together to make it happen.
Man, it's going to be fun to watch. Yeah. All right. I know you've got conference meetings that'll be coming up in the not too distant future, but one of the things that's already been settled, you mentioned, was basketball scheduling. And y'all aren't ready. Nobody's ready to release yet, but you know how many games you're going to play.
Correct. So you mentioned meetings. Yes, we've got some required NSA meetings later this week as part of the reclass process. Then Sunday, Monday, we've got conference meetings for the spring where we'll start to talk about some of the bigger, broader initiatives for the conference and really nationally that are going on. Obviously, we're still waiting on word out of California on the House settlement, at least as we record today. Who knows? I guess that could be any minute. But
they could still change their mind.
You got it. Exactly right. But, you know, we do know we're going to play 22 conference games in basketball this year. That's going to give us another home conference game compared to last year. It is going to impact our ability to bring in some additional non-conference opponents, of course. But one of the things that they've already really kind of set the framework in to approve officially here in the next month or so is moving from 29 games or 28 games plus an MTE multi-team event and just going to a straight 32. So there's more basketball games on the horizon, which in turn should also mean more home games on the horizon, which will time up very well with a new event center.
Right.
You know, again, we talk about bringing, you know, bringing events and bringing activities to Hunt County and the City of Commerce. This is very much in line with that strategic initiative. So we're excited about that. But it is going to be a little bit of a change this year with respect to what's going to happen with that conference schedule and having 22 conference games. So it's a, I mean, it's a straight double round robin on everybody. So it is a true, I mean, you're going to have a true champion going into, at least for the regular season, going into the tournament and true seeding in every way possible. It'll actually be, I don't believe there's another league in the country that's doing 22 conference games. So we're going to, it's going to be a good, I think, test case for everybody, including ourselves. Then additionally on the scheduling front, and this will probably consume maybe more of the conversation at the conference meetings next week, is the moving to allow for FCS schools, Division I FCS schools like ourselves, to play 12 football games a year, which is fantastic. We've had the ability to do that the last 2 years because of the way the schedule, the calendar works and the amount of Saturdays between Labor Day and Thanksgiving. And there's always been an exception to the rule for that in the Division I FCS. But now we'll have the ability to do that permanently. So when we get to 26, you're going to see everybody starting in the week zero week. And we were actually already scheduled to play in week zero. We have not announced this game yet, but again, I'll give a little bit of insight here for our folks listening here to Inside Lion Athletics, is we're going to play week zero against Mercer in a game that will be aired on a linear ESPN platform. So ESPN E2. So we're super excited about that opportunity.
In 2025?
2026.
Okay.
2026. Yeah. So we're really excited about that. And, you know, so great opportunity to get it going. Again, now we'll have 12 games. And so what are we going to do with that additional game? My sense is it will probably at this point in time, maybe add another conference game, which again, we don't play one of the conference schools right now. So it kind of makes sense now with RGD coming online this year. So, you know, but what that does is it guarantees us every other year, five home games just in the conference slate alone. We have to go pick up another one in the off year for a non-conference game, but it really kind of solidifies the ability to bring more home games on a consistent basis to Commerce, which again is a good thing for what we're trying to do. So that will be, I think, a pretty big focus of conversation at the conference meeting, certainly the national landscape and what's going on there. And, you know, speaking of football schedules, you know, Thursday this week, we'll get our kick times for SMU and Florida State. We'll put our ticket block on sale. So folks, get ready to get some more information about that on Thursday once those kick times come out. And we are ready to get after it with football for 2025.
I love it. It won't take long. I know people are already counting down for the start of the NFL, and it's under 100 days. College football is closer than that.
Yeah, it's like 94, 95, something like that, days away from that SMU game. And again, we talked about how much energy is sitting around that right now. It has not subsided a bit. And so we are excited to get tickets on sale and allow our fans to start purchasing into our block. The band is coming. So we're excited about bringing the band. We've gotten that solidified. So again, we're ready to turn that thing blue and gold out there in Dallas.
I love it. I love it. They can have that pony, red, white, and blue is okay, but blue and gold's better. All right. So I think we made it all the way down our list, Jim. What else? Anything else? There's a lot going on. A lot has happened.
A lot happening. It's been a good, I think it's been a good year. You know, we talked about how you know, the success we had in the classroom, getting kids graduated. We talked about how we were in position based on the way track finished to maybe have our best finish ever in the Commissioner's Cup. That will for sure happen. I think we're going to end up like a point and a half away from being even another spot higher. But you know, we've never been above as many teams as we are this year. Now, one thing that's kind of wonky about the Commissioner's Cup is you score points based on the sports you're in and you sponsor. Well, we sponsor 14 sports. We got schools in the league that sponsor 18, 19, 20. It's just with the way that they calculate Commissioner's Cup right now, because we don't score in multiple points, it's hard to win it, I would say. So I think for us, I think we just want to continue to see improvement, particularly just 3 years into what we're doing here. And we've seen that. So again, appreciate all of our coaches and student athletes for the work they've put in, and excited for what's coming next, particularly as we get to postseason eligible here with hopefully a really good outcome at the board meeting in June. Be remiss if I didn't say thanks to you and thanks to Avi for putting this on every week and putting up with me and helping to be able to showcase everything going on in Lion Athletics and share the message. So grateful for your support all along the way and your willingness to at least listen to me for 15 to 20 minutes every week.
Yeah, but you got to listen to me longer.
Yeah, but people would probably rather listen to you than me anyway. So.
I don't know. We have some good stories before we ever get on the air. So.
I guess the blooper reel will be good, right, if we ever do that?
Oh, I'll shoot whoever comes up with one. Yeah. With a BB gun. No, with a water gun. No, yeah. That would probably be pretty entertaining. And I'm sure that Dr. Rudin wants the first copy. When are we going to get him on? We got to get him on someday.
Oh, definitely. You know, we talked about it, and we'll definitely get him on at some point. You know, we were talking about how we want to set the schedule now that we're kind of done with the academic year. Maybe we'll get one at the end of June and end of July on the backside of the reclass vote and heading into the summer two. And then we'll get to summer in July after media days. And then before we know it, I think our first soccer game, I think, is August 7, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
So it's here. Like we keep thinking it's off in the distance, but it's right around the corner. But that's what makes it exciting.
That's great stuff. Jim, thank you for everything.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for it. We did 42 of these. And I think we had a week's notice with the first one.
Hey, no one would ever know.
All right. Avi will get that part out. All right, man. I'm going to visit with Avi for a while.
Oh, and, good.
Stick around yourself and watch. And folks, we'll be right back with more of Inside Lion Athletics. Avi made us finally getting in front of the camera instead of behind it. See you in a minute. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the last segment of the last Inside Lion Athletics for 24-25. It's not the last episode ever because, remarkably, they want us back. Avi Mehta is the biggest reason for that, and the Assistant Athletic Director for Communications, I think I have the title right, yep. Sports Information Director to grayheads like me. But it's the same thing. It means a whole lot of hours, a whole lot of hard work, and nobody knows more about every program than this guy right here. Avi, how you doing?
Yeah, how are you, Charlie? Thanks for having me on. Jim's been asking for a while. I was like, all right, fine, I'll probably do it the final episode, and it finally is here. So excited to be here.
Hey, and you're doing it right after you come back from vacation.
Yeah, less than 24 hours back from visiting the Great Northwest in Alaska. So really had an awesome week there. That's why we didn't have an episode last week, but back at it here in Commerce this week.
That's cool. And you got to take a jacket with you on that trip.
I did. I had to dust it off. It hadn't been used in a couple of years, but didn't know what it felt like. Wearing a couple, four layers it felt like, but yeah, it was cold, but it was fun.
All right. Good deal, man. Hey, this is such, you don't want to overblow stuff, but you can only make this reclassification one time in your existence.
Correct.
And we're about done with it. What's that mean to you? You've been here for every bit of it.
No, it's extremely exciting it's kind of full circle to hopefully we find out June 23rd if we pass all the tests and are fully postseason eligible next year. But it was a month, exactly a month from when I got hired, was when the Southland Conference did their official campus visit and extended an invitation to us to join the Southland and move up to Division One. And so this is kind of a full circle moment that now is wrap up my fourth academic year here at East Texas A&M, then Texas A&M Commerce, that we're about ready for postseason play again and be fully members of Division One a year earlier than was expected at the time.
All right, so your first gig was at Towson State, right? When you got your own shop?
I went to school there, did some work in the sports information office while I was a student, while I was there before moving on to Community College of Baltimore County, right there in Baltimore as well, while I was still a student over there, then moved on to Rutgers University for about 8 months while I was still a student, worked there as an intern, full-time intern. So those were my experiences prior to graduating college out of Towson.
And then you went on to the West Coast, or at least one of the states on the West Coast, and some of worked for an old acquaintance of mine, Kelly Bird, at Linfield.
Yeah. My first job out of college was at Linfield University in the great Pacific Northwest down in McMinnville, Oregon, at Linfield, obviously a D3 powerhouse, specifically in football and softball, baseball, basketball as well. And that was really special. My first year there, won the conference title in football, basketball. We were on projection to win conference title in softball before COVID came and ruined that season. So it was a really special 2 years there during COVID, but winning a lot, which was exciting for sure.
All right, so you get to cheat a little bit like me at the D2 to D1 level, because you started out, I guess D3 was your first that wasn't while you were still a student. Is that right?
No, D3 was my first full-time opportunity. D2. I started out D3, then came to D2, stayed here. D2 was only for a year.
Yeah.
Started this D1 journey in 2022. And then obviously the last 3 years spent in Division One.
And we're about to hit liftoff. 3-2-1.
Yeah, exciting. You know, it was emotional when the track meet ended a couple of weeks ago. And it hit me as the meet ended. I was like, this is probably the last time that this track and field program the conference meet is the last event of their season. You know, if you look at just projections and the conference or the regional meet for NCAA start this week, and you just look at what our marks stand against the rest of the country, there have been few athletes that have been competing this week in College Station. And so that's really special to hopefully get that opportunity next year.
If somebody was to ask you, how would you even determine the level of notoriety that the university has earned from more exposure from that last D2 season, even into the transition years of Division 1?
I mean, it's so hard to quantify, but really it's been amazing to see the exposure growth, right? And not just on the playing surface, but that helps obviously that first year. Remember, you know, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, but you know, in football, we get off and we beat Southeastern Louisiana as the defending conference champion and nationally ranked. And we're pretty much on the map right away in football. And we're probably a win away that year from being nationally ranked right away. And then same thing in men's basketball. You know, we go down to Hawaii and beat Hawaii, and no one's even heard of us at the time. And then the next day, where, you know, it was late Hawaii time when we finished, and the next day I wake up and all the big college basketball reporters are tweeting about us, even, you know. And so that's been the exposure for sure. That's been the growth of the exposure for the university and playing, getting a chance to play national televised games. And, you know, Jim touched on a little bit earlier on Thursday, we'll find out the kick times for that SMU and Florida State game. We'll also find out what platform those games will be played on, you know.
Yeah.
Expect us to play at least one nationally televised game, if not both, to be on national TV. And that'll be the first time that's been said about the football program. You know, the only other national TV game prior to last year's game at San Diego State was the national championship game in 2017. So pretty amazing how far things have come along since then.
Are there any games on the football schedule coming up this fall that you are looking forward to more than another?
I would say Florida State for sure. You know, just obviously it's a historically great program, historically great venue, one of the premier venues in college football, and they've been going through massive renovations. And I was reading something last week, proud of there, and they're having other Division I program powerhouses like Penn State and even NFL teams come and look at how they're expanding that state or refurbishing that stadium, and we'll be one of the first schools to play in it. And something special, you know, the week prior they host Alabama in the same locker room, and next week we'll be there to East Texas A&M. So hopefully there's some Alabama memorabilia left in the locker room that we can go and collect. But yeah, that's
sure.
Obviously, you know, you talk about the Division I exposure. You know, it's Florida State versus Alabama week one, Florida State versus East Texas A&M in the same field week two, and that's pretty special.
Nice. It'll be fun to get out there. Brock and I are both looking forward to seeing old Chief Osceola throwing that spear into the turf. It's a big, you know, the pageantry of a FBS, a big time FBS program like that. When they have a home game, they got to put on a show, and they do it well there.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. You know, it's talking to obviously Jim a lot, his time at Florida State, just talking about the experience. He's like, it's a weekend long experience over there. And so I'm really excited to get down to Tallahassee that second week of September and see it firsthand.
Good deal. Hey, what's the summer like going to be for you? Anything that you have to do extra because of the hoped for result from that meeting?
No, I would say a lot of that work has been done at this point. You know, we've submitted all of our required reports. We've got a couple more that are due at the end of the week, or June 1st. And then after that, it's just kind of a waiting game until that meeting happens in June. And if it goes the way we want it to, then it's to obviously start working, because that means you're immediately postseason eligible. And, you know, we've got a great soccer program in the fall that, you know, wouldn't be surprised if they're preseason number one in the Southland. We've got a cross country team that, you know, had a really good performance last year at the conference meet. Now those athletes are eligible to go head on to regionals as well. And so at that point, the work really begins again if everything goes to plan on June 23rd.
Wow. And you're going to get to see some basketball players next week.
Yeah, excited to finally see some student athletes. Obviously, we've just not seen them for a week and a half, but excited to see the student athletes back on campus. Really excited to see our men's basketball team. You know, we're looking forward to probably announcing the signee class in the next week or so. It's mm-hmm. a impressive class that's going to make some waves, not just amongst the Commerce faithful, but really nationally, and what Coach Rose and his staff was able to bring in this year. And so really excited about men's basketball season. And we've got some exciting games that will be hopefully get to announce here soon as well. We're finally waiting on some contracts, but it's, you know, Jim and touched on, it's a less non-conference games, which ultimately results in a few less home games, but still the top end of the schedule is still pretty impressive with what Coach Rose was able to put together for this year.
Okay, so I'm not giving away anything if I bring this up, but do we know yet if we're playing UConn in that second game this year, or would it be next year?
It will be this year, most likely. Again, nothing's been signed yet, but it will be this year. And I would say that's not the only time we'll be in the Northeast if that were to happen. So we will, you know, our first year we played in four time zones. I mm-hmm. think we're getting close to maybe four, maybe even five this year. Four for sure. So even one of those time zones that we did the first year, without teasing, we may be going back to that time zone again this year. So there's only one Division I school in that time zone, so it's not hard to figure out who that school is.
If you are a basketball nut, like we get to be, but we have other things, other sports we have to be nuts about all year long. But if you're just can't wait, these could be the most physically gifted teams, men and women.
Yeah, no,
that have ever been on campus.
Yeah, we didn't touch on the women, but obviously, you know, they've got an impressive class coming in as well, and they're postseason eligible in a conference, you know, that's going to be wide open. Obviously, we had a lot of turnover on the women's basketball side. And so really excited there as well to see Coach Val and the squad there to see what kind of waves we can make. Obviously, it was a disappointing year both sides last year. But, you know, on the women's side, it's an open conference now, and see where we stack up.
You know, for both teams, it was just one of those years. And you pray that you don't have them but like once every 25 years, but they happen. And yet we're so optimistic going into the next time around, just because of how much change you can make quickly when you're a full-fledged D1 member.
Absolutely. You know, the changing landscape kind of definitely helped us on both men's and women's sides to attract some really impressive talent, both sides, going into next year.
Avi, when it comes to portal stuff, outside of a coach, I would expect you know more about how that works and the impact of it with players. There are a lot of people that go into the portal that never do get out. Do you get to work with any of the student athletes, not to necessarily one-on-one individually try to coach them through any portal business or what it might be like, but do you work with them on a, kind of a broad scale and talk to all of them? Or are they
Not really.
supposed to know that by now?
Not particularly. Our Dale in our compliance department kind of is the one that puts them in the portal, so they'll be the first
Okay.
they talk to go in the portal. And NCAA does a good job in programming, required programming that you have to watch that talks about those statistics that you mentioned about going in the portal and what could happen if not coming out of the portal or even going a level down. So he's the one that kind of talks to all of them. He's re that they're required to talk to. They'll probably go into the portal, but I'll have interactions with a lot of them just in my if I see him in the field house or see him out at a playing surface, if they go in the portal and just ask what who's looking at you, what do you got going on. And so I would say my interactions are more just on a more friendlier, but not friendlier basis, but just more a informal basis than anything formal, like don't
Yeah.
go to the portal or these are the ramifications. That's more for our compliance staff.
Whether they go in or not, there are some people that just have to work with them the way they are, and
Yeah, and every case is different. When they go in the portal, it's not always, they're looking for greener pastures. There's something, whether they want to go close to home or they have a better something outside of their sport that makes more sense that they just need a change of scenery for. And so every case I would say is very different in that case. And so it kind of just depends on the person more than generalizing it a little bit.
All right, let's jump in the time machine for this past year. Every sport, come up with like three highlights. What are the three most memorable dates from events that you have come to mind?
I would say number one and first and foremost it would be the football win over SFA, November 9th. That just sticks out more than any day because it was a lot of, obviously it was 2 days after we announced the name change. It was an anticipated matchup because of the history on both sidelines, and to come out as a win there, we all remember what happened the prior week prior to McNeese and going into that game, and to come out not just victorious, but win late like we did was so exciting and will definitely stand out as one of the best moments of the year for me so far. And then one that happened 2 days prior was the soccer win over Corpus Christi and to go to the championship game again. When we got the bracket or when we got to find out the seeding in the bracket, we saw that we were playing Corpus Christi in the semifinal night game at their place. And that's tough. I mean, that's the way the seeding shaked out that year. And we've had a lot of history with Corpus Christi where they're basically the only program that's beat us every year the last couple of years. And if we win that game 2 years prior, we're probably a conference champion and similar both last year. And so there's a lot of history between the two programs to come out victorious, come from behind there, win there as well, would stand out too. And then the one that we got to see recently was the win for softball, Houston Christian, on that Saturday when we run ruled them. And so those were, I would say, the three big ones that I've was in person or got to see. But the one that sticks out is just track and field overall, but really the outdoor performance of not just Ibrahim Fusini, the team overall on that Saturday, which was the last day of competition for our soccer program or track program, that was sticks out. And then golf as well, Marie Burtz at Women's Golf Championships, coming basically 6 inches away from possibly winning a individual conference championship and putting the lines in position to win their first team championship. That was pretty cool too. That happened in the middle of a Wednesday and middle of the day, but still it was pretty cool to see that on TV. So those are probably the big moments that stick out more than the rest.
Every game that you and I watch and follow is a game of inches, isn't it?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Stick out. Think about those basket touching on basketball, where obviously we're usually next to each other. Even football, there were so many games, both home and away, where we're right there in the mix. And this year, unfortunately, in basketball, a lot of times it didn't go our way. And a couple of times that it did, it was pretty special.
Tell you what, one of the games, when you say basketball, one of my favorite games from the year was the men's victory at New Orleans, because it was, if you're a basketball purist, it was kind of an ugly game, but it was an entertaining game, a very closely fought game, and it had a surprise ending. And when Casey Uguakaze was able to steal that inbounds pass, drive and dunk, it was a sudden change of fortune. The Lion bench just exploded.
No, it was, talk about a much needed win there. It propelled the, to where they finished the season, I think two of their last three, and that just built some momentum at the end of the year going into this year, where that, that last win against Houston Christian, it was a team that in HCU that really needed that win for their postseason seeding, and the Lions just came out on fire that day in the last game of the season, came out with the win at the end of the year, which is pretty cool and cool to see, and just cool to see on our bench them celebrating both the New Orleans win and then the Houston Christian win at home as well.
All right, very good. What about the things coming up? Which team, and it may not even be a fair question, but at this point of the year, or this date, which team or teams do you think are going to surprise some people and not win at all? We're not going to ask you to predict that, but finish remarkably better than they did a year ago.
I think the biggest one, I think there's two that come to mind, and it's one is men's basketball. I think, it was a very disappointing season last year, but I think I'll be very shocked if we finish anywhere close to where we finished last year. I think, I'm making my plans to be at the conference tournament next year in men's basketball and women's basketball, both sides. But I think if I could group, I would say both basketballs, not just men, but women as well. I think both programs are going to be significantly better the following next year. And I think one of the advantages, it's not great to play those 22 conference games, but one of the advantages there will be, you're playing one less opponent from the Power Four conference, especially on the women's side. And so there'll be one more game that you'll be able to compete in. If you look at our history on the both basketballs, conference play, they're right around 500 every year, even have a winning record a couple of years on the women's side. It's early season non-conference games when you're just playing teams that are way above your level. And you're very deep in your records, like four games, five games under 500, and you're not be able to build back up during conference play. And so, for both men and women, those having those two extra conference games or four from last year will really help them going into hopefully a deep run in Lake Charles at the conference tournament, and hopefully our first ever NCAA tournament bid in those sports. And so, I would say basketball, even football. I think they're going to be surprising some people. You look at how our schedule shakes out is really friendly to us outside of those first two games, but you get a bye week in there, and then it's a really promising and friendly schedule following that. And so I would say those three sports jump out, and then I'm really excited for the first sport that will begin play is the soccer program, and that team obviously has come close 2 years, two out of 3 years they've played in the conference tournament championship, come up short both times, but now they'll be hopefully be postseason eligible. And, again, I wouldn't be shocked if they're the preseason favorite to win this conference, just the way the movement happened over the offseason. And so, really excited for them. And then the one other one that I'll just throw in there is volleyball, because, we play the conference tournament at home this year. And so really excited about, getting a chance. We hosted the track championships back in 2023 and had a great performance there. And it helped playing that at home helped a lot our program and our student athletes. And so I'm really excited about that for volleyball this year, where they'll start their season at home with a preseason regular season tournament and then end it with the conference tournament and hopefully play on into the NCAAs as well.
So, are you going to spend the whole summer watching TV on the new jumbo boards inside the field house? Are
That's
you going to learn how to play with the new toys?
Yeah, well, that's going to be, the biggest, one of the bigger things they're working on all summer is to get ready for August 29th. I've had that date circled for a while. That's the first volleyball game in the field house. That'll be the first regular season contest in the field house since we added those video board assets, both the ticker board and the big screens. If you came to graduation, both either ours or Commerce High School's, which happened over the weekend, you got to see them a little bit in action, but really excited about getting those fully functional in time for volleyball and then going into basketball and using them obviously for the conference volleyball tournament that we host in end of November.
Big times, man.
It'll be
We
fun. Exactly.
we're almost there, Avi.
Exactly. Yeah. It's coming close. I was looking at calendar. We'll hopefully have the soccer schedule announced in the next couple of days. We've got a nationally ranked preseason nationally ranked team coming to Commerce this year, so that'll be exciting for them. They've got a lot of regional opponents as well that are close to Commerce as well on the road that fans can drive to see.
So for every fall sport or sport that begins in the fall, like basketball, when will we have the schedules? Are they going to be released kind of one by one,
It just
or?
depends on when the program, when the coaches are ready with their non-conference agreements. We've already announced the soccer conference schedule in April, same with volleyball, and now we're just kind of w waiting on all the non-conference contracts to be finished up, signed, sealed, and delivered, and then we're okay to announce them. I got told at Night of Champions by Coach Gordon that soccer was ready to go, and so we'll get that off the books here shortly, and then volleyball will be right after. We got one or two games that we're trying to finalize on the volleyball side. We know who we're playing. We're just waiting on game contracts to be done there, and then we'll be able to announce volleyball as well. And then they'll come, cross country. We'll start the same weekend as volleyball, so we'll have that as well. And then going into basketball, they've got their games as well. Just waiting on game contracts there. We'll probably have their conference schedule, I would expect, in sometime in June. I've seen it, but it's the there's still some work needs to be done for the rest of the conference, not us. We're pretty solidified in the conference schedule. Rest of the league, not so much. So we'll probably have that here soon as well.
It's going to be kind of fun to go into conference portions of every schedule now, knowing that we're playing for the same marbles as our opponent.
Absolutely, I was looking at even last night. I was finishing up the soccer schedule after I got back because. And I'm researching where the NCAA Final Four is in soccer this year. I haven't had to do that the last 3 years because we have not listed that on our schedule because we're not, we haven't been postseason eligible. Hopefully, we are this coming year, and that's obviously an important information to include. Is with the postseason format, it's different from Division II for a lot of our sports. And research for even for myself, I've been 3 years of purgatory, and I have to refresh myself sometimes, we don't have baseball here, but the conference, I'm sure fans that play close attention to Southland's, just Southland's landscape, they saw what happened in baseball there where the 8 seed and the 6 seed are playing each other for in the championship series. And, I've got a close friend in the conference office and I'm asking him, like, what does this mean for like at large bids? Because I've not paid attention to at large bid RPIs, anything like that for the last 3 years because we've not needed to pay attention, unfortunately. But I'm like, what does that mean for your Southeasterns or UTRGVs that came into the conference tournament, probably predicted to go into the conference into the NCAA tournament, but obviously missed out last night.
Hey, it was fun watching our fellow Lions down in Hammond, not once but twice, knocked off LSU in the softball regional.
Yeah, no, it was pretty special, obviously to able to do that, and just speaks volumes overall in the league. And I was talking to somebody at the conference office about this. It would be 4 straight years that a team from the Southland played in the regional final in softball. It was McNeese 2 years in a row, and then Southeastern the last two. And there's not many conferences that can say that. If I had to guess, it was probably Power Four and maybe one other in the Southland. It just speaks volumes to how good the softball and baseball level of play is in this conference. I would really argue those outside of SCS football, those are the two best sports that the Southland has to offer.
In baseball, Houston Christian, which is in the Texas regional for the College World Series, that weren't they like the 8 seed in their region, or was it six? They were not expected to win that title.
They were the 6 seed, and then they played New Orleans, who was the 8 seed, who similar to Southeastern, where they beat LSU twice. Their baseball team at the same time lost at home as the 1 seed, lost at home to New Orleans. That kind of put the Privateers in a little bit of a driver's seat. And this year's format that I really love in baseball and softball, where it's the higher seed host, it's not a predetermined location. And so I'm sure the folks at Houston Christian, who we saw at the end of softball season, were probably not expecting to host a conference championship series in baseball being the 6 seed. But it ended up being that the conference title championship series was in Houston. And them being the 6 seed rather than it was probably going to be either at RGV or Southeastern being the top 2 seeds.
All right. Avi, we go on and on and on and tell stories, but we have no refreshing beverages with us to quench our thirst.
Hey,
Maybe
we'll
we
get
ought to save some for another time.
back on the road here shortly, going to
I know, I know, I know.
Patsy, Dallas, Grambling to start, and then wherever basketball takes us.
Okay, one last thing. You chose to be a Lion. Could you ever have imagined all this was going to be part of it not long after you moved to Texas?
Not, without a doubt, I can say that that was not in the plans. You know, obviously came here when we were still Division II. Obviously, there were talks behind the scenes that I was not aware of happening going up to Division I, and it was not told to me as I was being interviewed or anything like that. And then, you know, a month in, I walk into my office and I see some Southland folks that I knew from other from prior that I was like, oh, why are you on campus? You're not supposed to be here. I was like, and I was able to text back, like, okay, I see what's going on. So yeah, no, that was not in the plans. Could not have imagined what those last 4 years have been like. You know, every day is something new happens, and it's really exciting.
Oh, well, that's why we dig it. It's never boring.
Exactly.
Avi, thanks for spending so much time with us today on the final episode. You've done so much work on the other side. You wrangle all the coaches and me to get us all together. And it's just been a pleasure to work with you and everybody else all year long.
Thank you so much for your time and flexibility. You know, sometimes trying to wrangle all these coaches and AD and Jim Curry, obviously, and everybody else we have in the department have had the fortune of joining us this year. It's always we're wonky and we don't have a set time, this day. It changes every week, as you know. And so really appreciate your flexibility throughout the year to get it in every week.
My pleasure. Folks, we're going to line up here, and we will see you next week when we come. No, not next week. It's going to be away. It's going to be after the reclass notice.
Yeah, stay tuned to our social media and our YouTube channel. We're planning on doing one. Obviously, hopefully get some good news on June 23rd at the Board of Directors meeting. We'll have one right after, and then as we get ramped up after football media days at the end of July, we'll have another one coming there as well.
Good deal. All right, man. We'll see you next week when we come on up.
All righty.
Thanks again. Hey, we'll see you next time when we start year 2.